chapter 8, and we'll read our text. And I'll wait for you to get there, because if I didn't, I'd be done reading it by the time you did get there. It's a short text this morning, but there's a lot here, and I won't even be able to do much more than scratch the surface of what is in this verse. But it's my desire that the Lord speak to us with it, and I would encourage you to take it home and think about it this afternoon. John chapter 8, we're going to read one verse, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Lord, how we need you. We need you to take care of us. We like to try to control our lives, but we don't have any control. And we certainly don't have any control whatsoever over what happens after this life. It's beyond our power, but it's not beyond yours. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to just give you everything. Give you our plans, give you our desires, give you our heart, give you our faith, and just give you our sin, the sins that we love, the sins that we want to keep hidden. Just turn it all over to you and trust you and what Christ did on the cross so that you can take care of every part of us. Help us to grasp the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in this verse, and I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Darkness is frightening for many people, and I was thinking about that. I think all of us can be put in a place rather easily where we are scared of the dark. You might not be scared of being in your own house when it's nighttime, because usually there are street lights. I've been amazed sometimes. I've been up at night, and I think it's somebody's outside light, porch light, or a street light coming in the window, and it's the moon. The moon can be very bright, and what we see is not absolute darkness. It's only partial darkness, and I'm not very much afraid of partial darkness, but there are rooms where you can black out the windows and close the doors and shut off the light, and you can't see a thing. And if you were put in a strange situation, an unfamiliar setting, in that kind of darkness, I think every single one of us would be nervous about that. Because darkness is frightening. Our imaginations can run wild, turning ordinary sounds and dim shapes into all kinds of danger. And sometimes it doesn't take much imagination because danger is really there. On the other hand, we can let our imagination run wild because at some point in the past, we weren't afraid and we were subjected to actual danger. Maybe you didn't used to be afraid of driving through the middle of a large city at night, but one time you were mugged or something, and now you have a fear of that kind of setting. What a relief to have a flashlight or a lantern when you're in the darkness. Walking through the woods, maybe it's nice to have some light. It's very helpful to know exactly where the light switch is when you're in a dark room, fumbling around and stubbing your toe and bumping into the wall. It's good to know how to find the light because the light eliminates the darkness. It drives it away. But physical darkness is nothing compared to spiritual darkness. We understand physical darkness, but it is just a very superficial picture of spiritual darkness. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." The wicked who reject the law of God and do things their way, they run into things and they bump their nose and they trip and fall and they destroy things and they fail and they're full of frustration and anxiety and anger and fear and they don't know why. They don't know why they stumble. What just happened? You're in the dark, you're walking, you run into things and you don't know what it was. You can't see it. You felt it. You knew it was there, but you didn't see it coming. And you don't know how to avoid it next time. And that's the way of the life of a wicked person. Just do your best, you know, and people seem to lift up their own wisdom. They've failed so many times, maybe they've learned a few things, but it doesn't give them real wisdom for the future. They don't know at what they stumble. Micah 3:6 says, "Therefore, night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision." This is not physical darkness he's talking about, spiritual darkness, silence from God. "And it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them." What a frightening condition to be in spiritual darkness where God is not giving light. God is not giving truth. We've been blessed by having a lot of truth in our culture over the centuries. Anybody can go and buy a Bible. That's a form of light. It is the light of God's word. What a blessing to have that light. What a terrible thing it would be if God just pulled all of that back. What darkness we would live in. Turn to Acts 26, if you would please. Acts chapter 26, verse 15. The darkness is a frightening thing, and the Lord Jesus Christ in our text is talking about spiritual darkness. He's not, you know, physical light, but he is spiritual light. And he dispels the spiritual darkness that is in the world. Acts 26, verse 15, we see Paul describing his conversion when he met the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. And this is what the Lord said to him. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee." And these are the two kinds of people that we find. Yesterday I was doing a Bible study with a man looking at, there are only two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds of people that have ever existed, people who are in the light and people who are in the darkness, people who are children of God, people who are children of the devil, people who are lost, people who are saved, and so on. And Paul is talking about these two kinds of people that the Lord describes, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Spiritual darkness is a very frightening thing. It's a very terrible thing. And people live in it every day. And sometimes people aren't even aware of the darkness that they're in. But it's a very serious thing. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I was reading just yesterday a book, and the author was talking about how human trafficking might be an all-time high in all of human history right now. And it's hard to track those statistics, but we know that sort of thing happens. We know about high crime rates in all around the world. We know about all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of immorality, all kinds of sin, darkness, spiritual darkness. And Ephesians 6 says, there are rulers of the darkness of this world. And there's something called the dark web. It's an online arena, essentially, where a lot of crime happens. It's dark, it's darkness, spiritual darkness, wickedness. And there are rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual darkness is a terrible thing. It's an oppressive thing. If it's truly dark, and this is physical darkness now, if it's truly dark, absolutely dark, no one, not one of us, can see. We have night vision goggles and we have all these things, but if it's truly, absolutely, totally dark, no one can see. Darkness brings futility and failure and frustration. Spiritual darkness is a place without God. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Spiritual darkness is the exact opposite of God. Everything that God is, all the goodness that he is and brings and does, it is the exact opposite of all of that. That is what spiritual darkness is. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Again, we can become accustomed to darkness. And it's good to have the Hammetts with us here. They have been exposed to spiritual darkness, no doubt, at a level we aren't really exposed very often here in this country. In Africa, there are people that worship their ancestors, and there are all kinds of pagan and heathen-type practices that go on. And in other countries as well, things that we don't see happening on the street typically in America. Darkness, spiritual darkness, there are these things. And we can become accustomed to the level of darkness that is around us, and we stop noticing it after a while, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And when it gets darker, we definitely notice that. But Jesus came to bring light. He is the light of the world. Matthew 4, verse 12, it says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.'" We can get used to the darkness, but when the light comes in, we notice it. It catches our attention. And I'm thankful for that. It's my desire that you catch a glimpse of that light through the Word of God this morning. And in our text in John 8:12, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, states very plainly that he is the light. And I just have a question for you this morning. Will you follow the light? Let's look at a few things about his statement. Turn back to John 8, and we'll see what the Lord says. John 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, 'I am the light of the world.'" And we'll just stop right there. This is the reality. This is a statement. You might not believe it. You might disagree with it. You might not understand it. But it's just true. It's reality. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." I'm thankful that the Lord declares truth for us and doesn't ask for our approval, doesn't change how he states it depending on how his audience is going to react. He is not any less sure of truth. He doesn't waver depending on our response. He just tells us what the truth is. This is the reality. He says, "I am the light of the world." Do you believe that? Whether you believe it or not doesn't change the reality. And you can choose to live in opposition to reality, but that is your choice and it doesn't change the truth. The reality is, "I am the light of the world," Jesus says. And I see the first two words in this statement, "I am." In Exodus chapter 3, and we can turn over there, I'll read it if I get there before you. Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14, God tells Moses that he is the I am. It's his name. Exodus 3, verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, 'Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? I'm supposed to be your messenger to go deliver these people from their bondage, but they're going to ask me who you are. I'm going to say that you sent me. What do I tell them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." God is the I am, and Jesus is the I am. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the Word. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus is God. God is the I am. Jesus is the I am. Look at John 8, verse 56, later in this chapter. You might say, well, those two words, I am the light of the world, it's simple grammar. He's just identifying himself. Perhaps, but we know that Jesus is the I am because of other things that he has said. Look at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Why? Because they considered him guilty of blasphemy. He was telling them, I am God. I am. In John 18, we see them coming to arrest Christ. In John 18, they come to him in the garden, and Judas leads this band of men to come arrest the Lord. And in verse 5, it says, they answered him, whom seek ye? In verse 4, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. And the Bible isn't real clear on why that is, but I think it has something to do with how he said, I am he. Jesus is the I am. His listeners in John 8:59 recognize it for how he meant it. And when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, it reminds us that the I am is the light of the world. This is just reality. I am is Christ. He is the light of the world. He dispels the darkness. And he says, I am the light of the world. The light. We understand the word the. We use it hundreds of times, probably every single day. We know what it means, right? Well, let me just read a definition for it. The word the. This adjective is used as a definitive, that is, before nouns which are specific or understood, or it is used to limit their signification to a specific thing or things to describe them. The. There's only one. In how we're using it. We speak of the sun, and we all know what we mean. It's the bright light in the sky. There's only one of those, only one sun. Our world has no other. Some planets have multiple moons and maybe some fictional planets have multiple suns. Maybe there are multiple bright stars in other solar systems. Our world only has one sun. We call it the sun, and we all know what we mean because there's just one. Jesus says, I am the light. My children, I am the father of my children. They only have one father. And so the father, physically speaking, of course, the father is me. There's only one. And Jesus says, I am the light. Christ, the I am, is the light of the world. There is no other light. And it's a simple idea, but it's amazing how often people look to philosophers or psychiatrists or religious leaders or military leaders, scholars, for light, for direction, for guidance. We look to other lights, and you know, Jesus has some good ideas, but this other person over here, they're worth following. Have you listened to them? They've got real wisdom, and yeah, you know, the Lord can help you too. Jesus was a good man. He's got some things you can learn, but this guy over here, he also, no, there's only one light. If anyone has anything helpful to say, it's only because they're copying and applying what the Lord says. Anything truly helpful comes from the light. There is no other light. And we might be able to reflect the light and just reiterate and echo what the light says. But if it's helpful, spiritually helpful, if it's anything that dispels spiritual darkness, it only comes from one source. Even the moon is a light in our sky, but the moon does not create light. It only reflects light. There is only one sun. There is only one spiritual light. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is God. There is no other light in the world. There is only one. And Christ is the light of the world. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were sometimes, or formerly, sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you have spiritual light in your life, it's because of God. It comes from God. You might think you have light, and it's not light, and it didn't come from God. In God is no darkness at all, but Christ is the light. There's only one. It's amazing how people continually look for different areas for different kinds of light and think that they've found light. But if it's different from what Christ did and said, it's not light, because there's only one. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world." Christ is speaking to his followers. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." And we might say, well, how did Jesus say that to his followers, that ye are the light of the world? How could he say that if he's the light of the world? Well, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When you and I walk as children of light, when you and I do things that cause other men in darkness to see the light, they're not going to glorify us. They're going to glorify the light, because none of us have the ability to create light. None of us have the ability to live as Christ does without God's power. There is only one light. And when we live according to God's word, it's going to bring glory to God himself. He is the light. But he's not. But his statement goes farther than that. He says, "I am the light of the world." The world. Well, which one is he talking about? That's an obvious answer. This one. Do you live on this one? Of course you do. We've never yet found another world with humans and life of any kind. People are still trying to. We've never found it. Jesus doesn't say, "I am the light of most of the worlds. I am the light for most sinners in the universe, including this planet." He just says, "the world." And that means you. There's only one world. There's only one planet on which sinners live. And Jesus is the light of it. He is the light for you. I may not know very much about you. We have some visitors here today. And some of you I've met and talked to, had a chance to talk to. Some of you I haven't met at all. I don't know much about you, and I don't have to. But I do know that the I Am is the light for you. I may know some of you very well, and I know that the I Am is the light for you. No matter your background, well, you don't know my backstory. I don't need to know, because I know who the light is for, and it's for you. You're in this world. Jesus is the light of the world. That is reality. That is truth. No matter your questions, no matter your personality type or your education or the sins that you've done or haven't done, Christ is what you need, because he is the light of the world. The devil works to provide competition for Christ. And I use competition in quotes because it only appears to be competition. It's not true competition. Nothing can measure up to Christ. There are so many things in our world that clamor for our attention and our devotion. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2, if you would. 1 John chapter 2. The light of the world has come to illuminate the lives of sinners. And he will illuminate yours. He'll dispel the darkness. He'll help you to understand and to see and to walk circumspectly. But the world has all kinds of different forms of darkness for you to get involved in. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world..." Now, this is talking about the devil's system, not the planet that we have. I love God's creative work shown in this planet. It's beautiful. So many things. God is talking about the devil's system, the system of sin and the flesh. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world is headed for destruction. And you look around and I wonder if things like hurricanes and tornadoes are just a form of God's judgment. I don't know. I can't prove that any one instance is definitely God doing it out of judgment or allowing it. Certainly he allows it. But we know that this world is headed for destruction and sinners are headed for destruction. But the light of the world has come to rescue sinners. John 3:16 and 17 is a familiar passage and such a blessed couple of verses. For God so loved the world. There's only one, the world, the one that you and I live in, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's reality. You may not believe it. You may not want it. You may not accept it. But it doesn't change what is reality. There is one world of sinners. There is one light. He is the I am. There's a reward mentioned in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, light of life. I'm thankful that God offers a reward to sinners because we only deserve judgment. Good things from God, it's far more than we deserve, but God offers them. Romans 6:23 tells us what we've earned through our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the light, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The reward is, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And again, if you had the option between trying to navigate in pitch darkness, yesterday I was reminded, last night I was driving my car, and I remembered that the last time I had driven my car at night, I had noticed that I have one headlight out. And I'm going to try to get that fixed today because I don't want to drive around at night with one headlight out. Even just that, I have one that's working. So it's not pitch darkness. Have you ever driven on a road out of town at night with your headlights off? That's kind of frightening if you're interested in avoiding an accident because it's hard to see the road. And especially when you're in town, it just obscures your vision. Less light makes it more difficult. How much more difficult to walk in absolute darkness? If you had the choice between darkness or having light, we would all choose light. Why would I choose that risk? Why would I risk that destruction? Why would I drive without lights? Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This word shall implies a promise, a command or determination. It's a guarantee. It's a promised reward. This is a guarantee. You can just bank on this. If you follow after me, you shall not walk in darkness. You shall have the light of life. Not hopefully, not if you work hard enough, not if you stay faithful and one day maybe you'll reach it. You will have it. You can bank on it. Do you want it? I don't want a response. I'm not asking for a response. Is this interesting to you? Is this something that interests you? You can have it. It's available to everyone. In 1 John 1, verse 5, maybe you're still there. In 1 John, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him. I read this verse a few minutes ago. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Many people are in this state. They say that they know God, but they walk in darkness. They don't have the light of life. They don't know what it means to walk with the Lord, to experience his help and his grace, to experience his leadership, to experience his joy, to see the Bible come alive when they sit down and read it, to experience God speaking to them from the Word of God, God guiding them, God giving them desires that are not natural to them, but they're spiritual desires, to love the things of God. They don't know any of that, but they say that they know God. But they're walking in darkness. But if we walk in the light, verse 7 says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you're not walking in the light, your sin has not been cleansed. You still are responsible for paying for your own sin. The light of life is the opposite of death. We know that darkness is often associated with death and fear and oppression. We have a phrase that we might say, you're talking about maybe a movie or a story or an experience that you had, and we have an expression, we might say, wow, that's dark. And we're talking about, that's evil, that's oppressive, that's depressing, it's wicked, is really what we're saying. That's dark. It's a way of saying that something is without joy and hope and victory. But Christ is promising the light of life. He shall have the light of life. He says in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ is the light of the world. This is reality. He is offering the light of life. He promises it to those who will listen and obey his voice. It's a promised reward. But as I've already alluded to, we also see that there is an alternative to having the light of life. What's the alternative? What's the other option? Well, this is a guaranteed alternative. If you don't have the light of life, you are walking in darkness. If you have Christ, you have the light of life. If you don't have Christ, you are walking in darkness, because he says, if he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, if you aren't following me, you are walking in darkness. Deep darkness, and again, total darkness, is intimidating. It obscures our vision. It hinders our movement. It can cause voluntary paralysis. It can make us shut down and say, I'm just going to sit here and not move because I'm afraid of what will happen if I start moving around. Have you ever been in an underground in a cave? There are some pretty large cave systems that you can tour. And thankfully, they'll put lights inside. They'll wire it for electricity so you can see where you're going. But sometimes they'll take you down there and then they'll turn the lights off. They let you know, we're going to turn the lights off. You'll see what it would be without light. They shut it off and you can't see anything. And those caves aren't, you know, carpeted with handrails and, you know, nice calming music playing in the background. That's not how you discover them. They're dangerous. There are cliffs. There are sinkholes. There are all kinds of dangers. And I wonder about the people who explored those the first time. Oftentimes they were discovered before electricity and flashlights. And so they had maybe a torch or a candle, and they're exploring these caves. That would have been pretty frightening, because you can't see very far. You slip and fall, and you might fall hundreds of feet down to your death. I think if I were dropped into the middle of one of those caves in the dark, I'd just say, well, I'll just sit here for a while and hope somebody finds me. I will voluntarily be paralyzed here. I'll just sit here. Imagine walking through the African bush in pitch dark. You might meet a lion or a hyena, or any number of snakes, or hippos, or rhinos, or elephants, or leopards, more. I think I'd be tempted to just bunker down and wait for morning. What about swimming the Amazon River at night? There's jaguars around near the shore, snakes maybe in the water, black caiman, they're like crocodiles. They get huge, they grow to be huge. Electric eels, they're piranhas. I think I probably wouldn't be moving around very much in the dark all by myself. The reward of the light of life is assured for all those who will come to Christ. But just as sure, just as guaranteed, is the alternative for those who will not come. If you don't come to the light, you won't have light. You will walk in darkness. And walking in spiritual darkness is full of danger and destruction and sorrow and judgment. The I Am, the light of the world, is the only alternative. No matter how hard a person tries, they will never find a third option, and so many people try. They say, yeah, you know, Christ had maybe some things for me to consider, but I think there's another option. I think there's another light. I can figure this out on my own. I don't have to walk in darkness. I reject what Jesus said, that there are only two options, and it's either the light or it's darkness. I don't think that's right. I'm going to figure it out on my own. And they know not at what they stumble, because they're walking in the darkness. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's reality. And that flies in the face of what so many people believe today. So many religions, they're all going to the same place. They'll all end up in the same place. People are trying hard. They're doing good works. God will accept them. And you know what? I don't really fully agree with any of them, and so I take bits and pieces from all of them, and I've created my own religion, and God will accept me because he knows how hard I try. He knows how good of a person I am. No, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you do not have the light of life. You are walking in darkness. That's the reality. And this morning, everyone here today is either walking in darkness or they have the light of life. Which one is it? Which one do you have? Which one will you choose? Look at John chapter 12. Jesus is the light, and he's giving us the truth, the light of God's word, and he's offering it to us. We must accept it. John 12:35, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What a sad statement. What are you going to choose? The light is being spoken, the word of God, not my words. If I have anything helpful to say, it's only because I'm saying what the Bible says. Christ is what you need. What choice will you make? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Psalm 69:13 shows this heart condition that we need to have as sinners. But for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. This is the attitude that a person needs to have when they come to Christ. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that's the difficult part, because if we're going to call upon the Lord and find him and receive the light of life, we have to forsake our way and forsake our thoughts and return unto the Lord. And that is why people don't come to Christ, the light of the world, is because they're holding on to the darkness. They'd rather have their sin. They'd rather have their lust. They'd rather keep their own plans, and they don't want to let go of the darkness. They don't want to have this light of life. But it's because we don't understand this darkness and where it will take us. This world is full of destruction and sorrow. The devil is our enemy. And 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that he is as a roaring lion who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking to destroy the lives of saved people and lost people alike. He's seeking to deceive people and lead them deeper into darkness, away from the light. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. There are all kinds of wickedness and darkness out there. But the light is available to you. If it comes into your life, it will bring you illumination, spiritual illumination in the form of eternal life. It's the reality. And there's a promised result, a promised reward. What will you choose? Let's go back to John chapter 8, and I want us to see the last thing. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We've seen the reality. I am the light of the world. It should make us say, well, what should I do about this reality then? The Lord tells us what will happen if we respond the right way. We've seen the reality. We've seen the reward. Let's look at the requirement for a moment. He that followeth me. That's the requirement. And it also is a very specific statement. It's for every individual. Jesus could have said, everyone that follows, just a blanket statement, covering a group of people, but he's very specific. It is for everyone, but he speaks of individuals because he sees you. He sees me in our sin, in our struggles, in our darkness. He sees us individually. He that followeth me, the individual who follows the individual only begotten Son of God. What does this following mean? He that followeth me. The word follow here that he's talking about, to go after or behind, but in the same direction. To go the same direction, coming after Christ. To pursue, to chase, to follow Christ. To accompany, to follow him. To imitate, to copy, to obey, to observe. To pursue as an object of desire. He that followeth me. To honor, to worship, to be led or guided by. This is a serious and life-transforming condition. This is not casual. There are no casual followers of Christ like this. He that followeth me, this is what it's going to cost you. This is what it's going to require. If you want the light of life, it requires this. To chase after, to pursue, to desire, to obey, to worship, to go the same direction, to honor. You might follow your favorite team. And by that we can mean occasionally looking at game scores. Oh yeah, I follow, the such and such team. I pull it up once in a while and I see how they're doing. See if they've won a game recently. That's not following Christ. That's not the same kind of follow. That's not what he's talking about. We can use the word follow to describe understanding someone's train of thought. And hopefully you've been following my train of thought. I'm describing something to you. You understand what I'm saying and you are comprehending my words and where I'm going with it. That's not the same thing as Christ is talking about. Christ is talking about a top to bottom, inside and outside, permanent life change. When this happens in a sinner's life, there is no doubt what has happened, there is no question about what it means, and there is no uncertainty about where it leads. Following Christ is a complete life transformation. It's an overhaul. It means you were something else, you are completely different. It's not just once in a while you give Christ some thoughts, once in a while you talk about him, once in a while you open up your Bible. You are following Christ, you are obeying him, worshiping him, pursuing him, loving him, listening to him, doing what he wants you to do permanently. This is the requirement if you're going to have the light of life. I hope we all do want it. But I'm so thankful that God doesn't obscure what it's going to require of us. There is nothing greater than spiritual light, because the whole world lieth in wickedness. The wicked are in darkness. We need the light. But it's not going to come by simply thinking or following Christ casually. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, we read, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you could have the entire world, but you're in spiritual darkness, you would still be a loser. You would still have lost everything. Because when this life is over, everything that we can touch and control to any degree is beyond our power. We need to be in the light. Many people have liked the idea of following Christ and having the light of life. Many have not been willing to commit themselves to truly following Christ. And I'm not describing a work salvation. You just work hard enough, you just follow the Lord and read the Bible enough and you'll be saved. No, I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about giving your life to God so that he can control you, giving him your desires, giving him your heart, turning your back on your own sin, desiring that God take it out of your life, desiring that God cleanse you from it, desiring that God make you one of his children, desiring that God change your desires and change your direction. But so often we don't want to do that. We'd rather not give up what God wants us to give up. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross is an emblem, a symbol of execution. Christ was crucified on a cross, and they would make those being crucified carry their own as a signal that, you know, I deserve this punishment and I'm bound for this punishment. Jesus says, pick up your cross. Your plans, your desire, your fleshly life is going to be put to death, as it were, because you are going to walk in newness of life. You're going to serve the Lord. But we don't like to do that. We'd rather not. What must a person believe in order to be willing to commit to Christ? Some people might say, well, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I've got a lot of living left to do. I've got plans. You know, I kind of like my life. You're saying some things that sound attractive to me, but I don't know if I'm really ready for this. John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There is only one light. He is the I Am. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Savior of the world. He promises the light of life to every person who will follow him, who will repent of their sins and trust in Christ alone for salvation. He will change us wholeheartedly, completely. He'll change our life. He'll change our words. He'll change our deeds, change our thoughts permanently. Following Christ is not something you only do on Sundays or on Christmas and Easter. It isn't something you do when it's convenient. It's a way of life. Christ is your life. Christ wants to take away your sin and give you his righteousness instead. What a wonderful exchange, trade that is. He wants to take your sin and your guilt and your condemnation and give you his righteousness instead. He wants you to look to his shed blood alone for cleansing. And he wants you to repent of your wicked sin that puts you under God's condemnation. He wants you to realize that your sin Christ on the cross. My sin put Christ on the cross. It demanded judgment, and Christ took it for us. And if you do this, and you come to Christ this way, the light of the world, you shall have the light of light, the light of life. Once again, John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's one other thing I noticed about this verse. Out of all the specific singular words that he uses. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall have the light of life. So many singular, exact, specific words, except for one example. He says, shall not walk in darkness. There are so many kinds of darkness out there. They can be found anywhere. They can be found anytime. They can keep you occupied indefinitely. People go from sin to sin, distraction to distraction, and it's anything but Christ, and there's always something more. If you reject Christ, you'll walk in darkness, and you'll find no end to it. Because everything that is not the light of life is darkness. Everything that does not point to the Lord Jesus Christ is darkness. Your sincerity will not put you in the light. Only Christ can illuminate your life. Your education, your abilities, or maybe your winsome personality will not bring you the light of life. Only Christ can do that. The darkness is generic. The darkness is everywhere. It seems to multiply all the time. And there is only one light, but he is the light of the whole world. Come to the light. Follow Christ with all your mind, body, and soul. Give him your life. Give him your sin. Put your faith in him alone, not in any form of darkness, just in Christ. And you shall have the light of life. It's a promise. There's no other option. You're either walking in darkness or you have the light of life. You follow after Christ and you shall have it. Will you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world? This is reality, and he's inviting all sinners. That means you. That means me. There is no other light. Will you follow the light? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts. Help us to be serious about our sin, to admit